Second Thessalonians, the second chapter, hear now the word of our Lord. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all who is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Amen.
I want to continue this morning with the subject of the Holy Spirit. We last week looked at the Holy Spirit, and if you'll remember, we were questioning exactly what is the Holy Spirit. We looked at several titles in the Scripture that refer to the Holy Spirit, some of them being the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter is referred to as the Spirit. Various titles through the Scripture. I don't know if you noticed in the Scripture that Dave read had a reference to the sanctification of the Spirit. But by these different titles, we could see that the Holy Spirit is intricately connected with God, and he is, in fact, the person of God himself. The Holy Spirit, we saw, does not speak of himself. He speaks of the Son, primarily, and of the Father. We learned of his past, present, and future activities. He was there during creation. He was there during inspiration of the Scripture. Those men that wrote the Scripture was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He is a witness for you and for me, not only to us, but a witness for us to God himself. We saw where he was responsible for the anointing of those Christians during the Acts period, which is something that we are not involved in today. We are not anointed. We have our anointing through Christ himself. We saw where the Holy Spirit seals us until the day of redemption. And we see that he is that which sanctifies us. Once we come into a position of belief, it's the Holy Spirit then that not only seals us, but sanctifies us. We become holy through the Holy Spirit. We cannot make ourselves holy. We also notice that the Holy Spirit is the one that can teach us, give us knowledge and understanding. You cannot expect to comprehend God's Word without the sword of the Spirit involved to help you understand. That's why the natural man and the atheist and the agnostic never get anywhere in Scripture. It's like just reading Shakespeare or something else, because it's only the Holy Spirit that speaks to those that believe. And we saw, of course, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and that, of course, is involved with the Holy Spirit. And then we looked at the Psalms 119, where the prayer is, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy word." And that, of course, comes by the Holy Spirit. Now, just briefly, before we continue with this subject, I want to go back and take a look a little bit at the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. There's a difference between the way the Holy Spirit operated in the Old Testament and that in which we live in today in the New Testament times. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not abide with them. He came to them for a specific purpose. You can see it with David, Gideon, Samson, Saul, Solomon. All of the Old Testament characters, the Spirit came to them for a specific purpose. He did not abide with them as he will today in your life, if you will allow it. An example is we see after David's encounter with Bathsheba. He had this illicit affair with Bathsheba. Then he went so far as to have her husband put on the front lines of battle to where he would be killed, and David then could have Bathsheba. And David had a contrite heart, and he knew that he had done wrong. And in Psalms 51, he pleads, he prays to God, "Take not thy Holy Spirit away from me," because the Holy Spirit was with David, because he had a purpose. God had a purpose for David. He begged him not to take it away. And by the way, that prayer is not relevant for today. Why is that? Well, open your Bibles to the book of John. Chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be with you," and in verse 16, "shall abide with you forever." So the Christian that has the opportunity of this in living of the Holy Spirit, it's there. It abides with you forever. Now go back to Isaiah chapter 63, page 1010 in the Companion Bible. Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 63, page 1010. And we will look at verses 10 and 11. "But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. And then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, 'Where is he that brought them out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him?'" So here we see the Holy Spirit actually would lead them and actually, in this case, worked against them. But in the New Testament, we have this promise that we just read in John where the Holy Spirit will abide with you forever, and that that Spirit can work within you if you will allow that Spirit in your life. In the Old Testament, I might say that the Holy Spirit had other symbols. For example, the oil that was used in Leviticus and the meal offerings and the healing and the anointing were all symbols of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the wind in the Old Testament was the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And I suppose that's because it came and it went, like the Holy Spirit would with them. They could, would lead them after their purpose was fulfilled. But this morning I want to look at the book of Ephesians, if you'll turn back to Ephesians. And there are 9 references to the Holy Spirit in the book of Ephesians that I want to look at. So the first is in chapter 2. And we'll start at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And that's the key point. It is only through him that we have access to the Father. There's no other way to reach God except through the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Scripture has been provided. The Holy Spirit inspired these men to write this to us. This is God speaking to us, and we'll see that we pray back to him through the Holy Spirit. And I might point out, if you may want to go back and look at Matthew 28:19 at some point, I'll just read it for you. The verse says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit." Those are singular, and they're really not names. But there is a name that in Scripture that includes all of those titles, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we see it back in Psalms chapter 7, verse 17. Let's just go back and take a look at that. Psalms chapter 7. Keep your finger in Ephesians, because we're going to go back to Ephesians. Psalms chapter 7, 7:27. Psalms chapter 7, verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. And that name, if you'll look in the appendix in your Companion Bible, at least back in Appendix 98, you'll see all the different names that are used of the Lord in Scripture. And this, the Most High, actually refers to all three of these titles, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Father, in one name. In the Greek, it's Elyon, Elyon, E-L-Y-O-N. It is not a name as Creator, but it is a name that is inclusive of that which possesses both heaven and earth. And that's an interesting study on its own. The second reference to the Holy Spirit in Ephesians is in the 22nd verse of that second chapter. Ephesians 2:22. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the builder of the temple, which is the habitation of God. It is built of living, breathing stones of believers. It's what God will fill. We talked about His purpose being that everything would be full and filled, that He would be in us and we, in fact, would in part fill Him, so that there's this completeness in the end of His plan and His purpose. There is this completeness, this fullness. And you read, and we've looked at this fullness over and over again. We see fullness and fullness. But the part of that is the Christian and the believers are filled with the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit can abide in your life. And we'll get to that, more of that in a minute. The third reference to the Holy Spirit in Ephesians is found in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The Spirit is the revealer. He revealed the Scripture to those that wrote it. He revealed the Church of the One Body and the heavenly calling. That was all revealed to Paul by the Holy Spirit. Keep your finger right there and turn back a couple books back to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll read verses, starting at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth, the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And that's the deep things of God, the things that most folks don't understand, because it's only revealed by the Spirit for those who are searching and looking for truth and knowledge of Him. He is a helper, a revealer, an advocate. It's not something that's automatic, though. It doesn't just happen. You have to, you think of the verse 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. If you're looking to do that, the Holy Spirit's going to help you to comprehend more and more of God's Word. And you say, well, why would He not do that for every Christian? Well, it has to do with reward. There will be some who will, in fact, have reward. Others will be saved, but they will not have any reward. So those that are diligent and studying in God's Word, the Holy Spirit comes to them and helps them understand and comprehend. He is the revealer of truth. He is an advocate, a helper for us. The fourth reference to the Holy Spirit in Ephesians is in chapter 3, look at verse 16 of chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And there's that filling again, that fullness of God. And you notice in verse 16, by the Spirit, in your heart, in the inner man. So the Holy Spirit is a giver of power and might and insight and strength in the inner man as you live your daily life. It's not just as you study the Word, but it gives you strength and courage to withstand peer pressure. If you're in school, you have tremendous peer pressure to do the thing that's wrong. Everything from drugs to premarital sex to alcohol. Peer pressure. If you're a student, you see it all the time. But the Holy Spirit can give you strength in the inner person to withstand against and not take part in these things. So the Spirit can dwell in you and give you inner strength. The next reference is in chapter 4 of Ephesians. Verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Holy Spirit is the origin of spiritual unity. Here in this particular verse is the genitive case. It expresses possession. And the word endeavoring here is actually the same Greek word that's used in 2 Timothy 2:15 where it says study. This is the same word. Endeavoring, studying. And the unity of the Spirit. We as Christians should have a unity among us as a result of the Spirit working in your life, in my life, in his life. There becomes a unity of spirit that exists. And I think we see that here within the Bible form. There's a unity of spirit. The next reference in Ephesians is in chapter 4. Turn over to verse 30 of that fourth chapter. And there it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? What grieves the Holy Spirit? What keeps the Holy Spirit from working within you? Well, it's simple. Read the next two verses. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Have you ever noticed how some people are just angry? I have a friend that's just an angry person. I've made reference to him before. He's mad at everything. Mad at God, mad at his kids, mad at the church. Mad at his friends, calls people's names. He's got bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor in his life. And there's no way that the Holy Spirit is going to allow him to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because he is grieving the Holy Spirit. You notice when we read in John 14 that the Spirit may abide with us forever, it doesn't say that it will. It says it may abide with us. It may work within our lives if we allow it to do that. So you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not sealed. If you notice there the words that we read where it says that we are sealed, our redemption is sealed through the Holy Spirit. We still have your salvation, but you can grieve the Holy Spirit and not grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The next reference to the Holy Spirit in Ephesians is in chapter 5. verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in fear of God. The Holy Spirit is the filler. Happiness comes through the Holy Spirit. He can run your cup over with contentment and happiness, even in times of trouble. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. He is the results, or the results of this are fruits of the Spirit. Turn back a few pages to Galatians chapter 5. It's just two or three, four pages back where we are in Ephesians. Just let me remind you of chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So here we see the results of what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. My friend that I'm speaking about, he's bitter. He's always out of sorts. The Holy Spirit has not worked in his life. He's not allowed that to happen. So I encourage you to don't grieve the Holy Spirit and to have these songs and hymns as a result of the infilling and the working of the Holy Spirit. The next reference in Ephesians is chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit carries the sword. He gave us the sword, which is the Word of God. You want understanding? You got to use this sword. We see, of course, we've read many times the verses before that, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against spiritual wickedness in high places, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And that's what that sword is for. Satan will play mind games with you. He deceives, he lies, he's subtle. But the sword of the Spirit helps us as we have this ongoing battle within the flesh. Next reference is in the next verse. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The Holy Spirit is the source and the power of all prayer. We actually don't know what to pray for. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. He is our hotline to heaven. One of the best examples was the two disciples that prayed to Christ and said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, let us be on the right hand and the left hand. And had the Lord answered that prayer, they would have been on the cross on either side of it. they didn't know what to pray for. When we get to Jerusalem, Lord, let us be on your right hand and your left hand. They didn't know what to pray for. They prayed amiss. We don't know exactly how to pray, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. And when you have problems, when you have trouble, when you're in a hospital, when you're speechless and you don't know what to say and you groan, the Holy Spirit can actually use that. He can actually take that and interpret that. Interpret the desires of your heart and place that before Him in the proper way. The Holy Spirit is the first Wi-Fi, the first wireless connection to God the Father. We can boldly approach the throne of God through the Holy Spirit because we have this wireless connection to Him, whereby He can help us to interpret. He can help us as an advocate. He can be the comforter for us in time of trouble. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit, as we saw, is God. Last week and this week, I think I've covered just a small portion of the Holy Spirit. I hope I've given you some insight into it. There's a lot more. I would encourage you to look at it on your own, as always. Search and see. Don't take my word for it. I'm just an infallible man. But look into God's Word and see what the Holy Spirit has provided for you, for us, in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for what you have provided for us through the Holy Spirit, for the Word that came through inspiration, also for the salvation that has come through the death and resurrection of your Son, Christ Jesus. Again, I thank you for each individual here. I ask that you would continue to bless them and give them open heart and mind, understanding and knowledge, that they and we all may grow more in the grace and the knowledge of you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.